are you on bluebells, Aina?
Bluebells? Oh, I love bluebells. You know, when you shake the bluebells, the fairies hear them. And of course, in springtime and early summer, it's really the plant to see.
Couldn't agree with you more, Aina. And a visual treat at this time of year in woodlands right across the country. But did you know that a larger invasive bluebell could potentially outcompete our native one? Dr. Therese Higgins is a botanist and lecturer in the Munster Technological University in Kerry, from where she joins us now. Hello, Therese. How are you? Thank you for joining us on the programme.
Thanks a million, Derek. Lovely to be here.
And lovely to have you. So tell us about the bluebell that we have here in Ireland.
Well, the bluebell that we have here in Ireland is one of about 10 or 11 species, it is currently thought, that occur only in Western Europe, and particularly in the kind of Atlantic coastal fringe of Western Europe. And the Irish species is only found in Ireland, Britain, Belgium, the Netherlands and France, as far west as about Paris, and then in a small part in the northwest of Spain.
Why is that, first of all? Why is it only found in these countries? And describe it for us, please.
OK, well, look, I'll do the description first. It's a glorious, glorious species. I look out the window and it cheers me up on a grey day like today. It's a monocot, so it's kind of related to the onions and the leeks and the garlics and so on. So it has long, narrow green leaves. It grows usually on the woodland floor. And the leaves and everything die back over the winter and retreat into a little bulb underground. And then in the spring, these start poking up from kind of mid-January onwards. And then around now, kind of mid-April on through May and June, you get this beautiful haze of purple flowers that are on one side of the flowering stem. And that's very kind of specific to our native species. And the flowers are long, narrow bells, hence the name bluebell. They're a dark kind of violet blue in colour, and the tips of the petals curl right back. So it's a very dainty, beautiful little thing with creamy white anthers and pollen on them. So they're very distinctive.
And again, why are they only found in the countries you mentioned?
Well, it would seem to be something to do with the fact that they don't really tolerate drought very well. So all of the genus Hyacinthoides, which are the bluebells, they used to be kind of put in with the squills, if you've heard of them, another garden plant that you get in rocky places and alpine places and dry places across the Mediterranean. But the bluebell family or bluebell genus don't have this extra papery sheath on their bulb. So it means that if the bulb dries out over the summer and winter when it's hibernating as such, that it dies. So they don't persist in places where it gets very, very dry in the soil. And so that's probably why they're happy where they are to the west of Britain. They're also not very competitive, although you wouldn't know it sometimes when you see the sea of them on the woodland floor. But they don't compete very well with grasses and other kind of strong growing plants where there's lots of light and lots of nutrients in the soil. So they're confined to kind of poorer soils, which for wildlife is usually a good thing where plants are concerned. And they grow in our woodlands in particular because, of course, the leaves on the trees make it darker. So there's not enough light for the grasses and other things to grow. So bluebells, along with things like primroses and wood anemones and pignut and things like that, all have this bulb kind of a life cycle where they shoot up from their bulbs early in the year before the leaves come out on the trees. And then they're able to do all their thing, do all their photosynthesizing, put out those flowers, become pollinated, set seed for the next year and persist and expand where there's just enough light, but not too much. So that's why we have them here.
Yes, indeed, Therese. I have been looking out for the native Irish bluebell this year and I have not seen it anywhere. It's not in Dublin, it's not in Cork, where the places I've been looking at, it's not in Clare. All I've been seeing is the hybrid with the Spanish bluebell. And this is the problem. The Spanish bluebell is one that comes from further south in Europe, a native species there, and it grows straight up, has the flowers all around the stem, not elegant to one side. And the bees love it. And they visit that one, they visit our one, they carry the pollen from one to the other. The pollen from the Spanish one fertilizes the native Irish one, and we get a hybrid that's a very vigorous hybrid. And anywhere I've been leaping out of the car to look at bluebells this spring, I've only seen that hybrid. So can you explain to me what's going on? Is it being overtaken by this hybrid which is thriving at the expense of our native one?
Well, Aina, I'm very sorry to hear that you're not seeing native bluebell. There's certainly plenty of it around Kerry. But as you say, there is also plenty of this hybrid species. And it's funny, some taxonomists refer to the whole genus of bluebells as an enigmatic group because they're very difficult. Their taxonomy is tricky to pull them apart. So a lot of things that are called Spanish bluebell are probably actually this hybrid that you talk about. And looking at imagery, I haven't managed to get there myself, but looking at imagery from Andalusia and parts where both the Spanish and the bluebell native to here grow together, the Spanish bluebell is actually much daintier than this hybrid that we're seeing everywhere. The hybrid seems to have existed for a long, long time, from the 1800s at least. And of course, we've been trading in bulbs and cultivating plants for gardens and so on for a long, long time. So that's not a surprise. And it was only first noticed in the wild in Britain in the 1870s. But really through the 1900s, a big expansion of it popping up in more sites, I suppose, as more people had access to expensive bulbs for their gardens. And then it's in no way shy about hopping over the garden fence. So it'll grow by the side of the road. You know, it'll grow into woodlands if there's a source nearby. Now, bluebells spread very slowly. One study that was done over about 45 years from, I think, the 60s to the early 2000s found that they only can actually spread by about 0.6 to 6 centimetres in a year. So that's a very slow way of expanding. So most of the spread of these hybrids is actually helped by people who are thinking they're doing a great thing by planting for the bees, which I suppose they are, because the bees don't know the difference and they love it and they love the pollen, as you say yourself, Aina. But there is this risk then of hybridisation. And they do hybridise in the wild in the northwest of Spain in an area in the Galicia Duero Mountains near Ponferrada. And they hybridise very freely. And most of the hybrids are very vigorous. They set seed more abundantly than the native species of either Spanish or the common or English or bluebell do. And that's it. They grow more vigorously. They're bigger. They're able to tolerate more open conditions than our native species is. So they have the edge over our native species, certainly along the edge of woodlands and where there's a bit more light. Deeper into the woodlands, they probably don't have the edge. And our bluebells are probably a bit more safe there. But of course, most of our woodlands are so small that we have a much larger edge than we should have because we've fragmented them down all the centuries. So there is a bit of concern there about hybridisation, all right.
And the other thing is that people like to plant bluebells in their gardens and they go to the garden centres and they say, are these Spanish bluebells? And the garden centres say, oh, no, no, these are Irish bluebells. Meaning that we didn't go to Spain and come home with the bulbs for you. We have these bulbs in Ireland. So people think that they're buying Irish bluebells because they're told this. But in fact, they grow up to be the hybrid because that's what they are. I have seen in nobody's garden anywhere bluebells that are the Irish ones. And I've really been looking out for them this year because I really want to see them properly and get pictures of them. And as I said, it's not just in Dublin. I've failed all around the country to get them. And it is a pity because a native species like the Irish bluebell is certainly one that's very much part of our ecosystems. It's very much part of the woodland habitat. And it's certainly something that comes a little bit later in spring than, say, the celandines or the primroses. It's the next one in. It's around now in May, but by another week or two, it'll be gone. So we really want to make sure that it's our elegant, dainty Irish one that we have. So what can people do if they have this other roundy one in their garden, the big vigorous standing up straight one? Should they dig it up and throw it away? Should they abandon growing bluebells altogether? Or what should they gather seed from bluebells that are real bluebells in the wild? How can it be improved, do you think, Therese?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit of a conundrum and a question and a talking point among conservationists. And, you know, at a time when we're having so many people involved in biodiversity actions around the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan and the biodiversity actions for Tidy Towns, you know, it's fantastic to see people going out of their way to find what they think is native and encourage it in their communities. And then such a disappointment then when it turns out that it isn't. And in fact, it's something that could possibly even be doing a bit of damage. So whether or not to dig up bluebells that you have is a tough question. And I drive by a house most days in the village near where I live, and there are bluebells there that must be there for 60 or 70 years, and they're probably the pride of the household. They're not native, they are the hybrids, but you know, they're buzzing with bees. So I would be slow in a garden where all you had was bluebells, even if they're the hybrid, to just whip them all out just like that and leave those bees that are dependent on them hungry. I'd be trying to see what could I do it in a more maybe stepwise fashion and replace them over time with other pollinating plants, obviously native bluebells if I could get them. I would certainly be advising people to be very, very careful. Exactly as you say, you know, bluebells are being sold as the native Irish species, and they're not even the Spanish species. It's unlikely really that anything being sold is pure species anymore. They're almost always hybrids, because of course, with them growing more vigorously, that's what gardeners want. That's what we want. We want big and better and pest free and, you know, happy to outcompete the other things, the weeds, as we might call them, you know, that get in the way. So I would say, you know, people could, if they would, and we're open minded to it, have a think about replacing hybrid bluebells with something else. In terms of introducing native bluebells, what is important is that we don't damage the populations of wild native bluebells that are there. That's extremely important everywhere. It's especially important in national parks and nature reserves. Obviously, you couldn't be going into somebody else's land and digging up their bluebells and putting them on your own. So that isn't an option either. Probably the most sustainable and safest way to introduce bluebells to your garden, if you want to, is to collect seed. And even then, that seed should only be collected from somewhere where you have permission to collect it. Again, not from a national park. And you need to collect it responsibly. You're doing it in a way that doesn't damage the population that's there.
Therese, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks very much. And thank you, Aina.